Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
What changes then are you resisting in your life? Another area of fear that they may have felt is at the understanding that began to be formed more fully, more mature, more completely. This understanding that if Jesus was alive, then everything he said was true. Do you see that? You to believe that Jesus is alive is to believe that everything that he said was true. If this is true, if Jesus said, I am going to raise again on the third day, and I am the Son of God, and I have power over life, I will lay it down of my own will, and I will pick it back up again. If that is true, then surely everything else he said was true. And what else did he say about himself? I am the way. He did not say, I am one of many ways. He did not say, I am one who has come and laid down my life and taken it back up again so that you can have a solid set of moral principles by which to live. Christianity, as it has been said by others, is not about making bad people good. It is about making dead people alive. It is about a relationship with this living Savior. But as they left the tomb, this human fear that can set up that if God is alive, if Jesus is alive, then everything that he said is true. He is God's Son, and we were in his very presence. He is the only way to God. Christians today are hammered and we are belittled. And this is not unique to our day, but we are belittled. And now often we are accused of narrow-mindedness, closed-mindedness, bigotry, or self-righteousness. Or there's just this culture that just pushes as hard as it can against the idea of absolute truth. But Jesus is the embodiment of absolute truth. And there must be absolute truth, must there not? Because for you to say there is no truth must itself be true, which means there's truth. We must understand that there is a truth to be known, and his name is Jesus. And he is alive. He is God's Son, and he is the only way to God. And despite the accusations that we receive today, we must with compassion, love, and humility, and never with the strength of the sword, proclaim to a culture and to a world that needs him that he is their only hope. And why else would fear set up in their heart? Because when they understood these things that I've already mentioned, then they understood this, that he remains to be the only hope for a lost world. To think, as they left that tomb, that was empty with the stone rolled away, 4-ton stone, most likely. No, one human could possibly have moved it. You'd have taken an incredible number of people to pull this scheme off that was being told among the Jews. But if this Jesus is this one, this angel that they saw as they left the tomb, and as they walked away, and as it began to, all of it started to just crush in on them or to fall upon their hearts, Jesus is the only way. They already believed that. I know that there was belief there in their hearts, but as they began, it all just suddenly came fully together, and they began to think of those around them that rejected Christ. friends and family and those who they knew and who they know and who they loved. Those that were rejecting this Christ, it began to break upon them, and I believe there was something in that fear that they walked away with as a reverence for God, yes, an awe of Him. But the word fear means exactly what it says it means in the Greek. It's fear, like you and I often think of it. It's this trembling. It's this fear of something that is beyond our direct control. And as they looked at this and they then saw the world in crystal clear, vibrant color, Jesus is alive. He is who He said He was. And if you don't believe Him and don't follow Him, you have no hope in eternity. And there's a world that needs to hear this message. Indeed, true Christianity calls upon us then to give Him, Christ, our minds, our hearts, our strength, our will, our everything, our all to Him. Because He's alive. Have you? Have you today? Have you given Jesus everything in your life? Do you see Him? Are you as these women walking away from the tomb? When you wake in the morning, may it come to our thoughts that I am as one walking away from an empty tomb because my Lord is alive today, and there are others who need to hear this message, and I need to give Him my life because He is owed my life. He's bought it. I'm His. He did not come to give me, as I've said, just some simple rules by which to live a successful life. He is here and He is alive today, and He calls me to give Him my heart. And he said in his ministry that for those that seek to hold on to their life and seek their life, they're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, that's when you're going to find it. Don't you see that it's just so close? It's right there. If you just give your life to Him truly and let Him have it, you're going to find your life. That thing that we all look for, and is the silly statement that's made about young people, they're going to find themselves. I don't even know what that even means anymore. You must give your life to Christ, this one who is alive today. Indeed, as we said, true Christianity is a far distance from a mere moral set of principles by which to live. There's fear in their heart as they're walking away from the tomb, but there's also joy. Great joy, in fact, the scripture says. Doing a little word study on this word joy. And in one place, one of the writers that I read who it was expert in language speaks of, in some languages, they don't have a word joy. They speak idiomatically of it, and they say things like, "My heart is dancing." And that expresses the joy that they felt in their heart. And here we have, over against the fear, we have the joy. All set up in their hearts. As it said in verse 8, they departed quickly with fear and great joy. Burdened, but joyful. Heartbroken we can be in our lives as God's people, but joyful. Fearful, but joyful. This constant dichotomy in which we live our lives on this side of eternity. Joy that the Lord they loved was alive. Jesus is alive. Imagine they're broke. Imagine them watching and seeing the Lord that they loved give up His life, bow His head and say, "It is finished," and give up His life. And as His mother is standing there at His feet with John, the apostle, next to her, and the brokenheartedness that came over them, but then the angel, as they see Him, and He tells them, "Why you seek the living among the dead? He's alive." Let me ask you this. If you're in some sort of trouble spiritually in your life, why are you running from the One who's alive and is there for you to go and speak with? Why would we run to others? That's what the guards did. Why would we go to someone else? Go to Jesus directly, yourself. He's not very far from you, according to Paul in the 17th chapter of Acts. He's not far from any of us. Joy because he is now alive, and we know that he's alive, and we're going to see him again. Joy that their fellow believers felt the same joy. The turn, the change in the air around these women from one moment to the next must have been palpable. You must have been able to feel it as they walked to the tomb to dress the Lord's body that they believed was still in the tomb. And just moments later, having seen a messenger of God, an angel of the Lord, the stone rolled away, his body not there, he is alive. And the joy that they must have felt as they saw the joy in another's eyes. And one of the wonderful things about church is we can help one another through difficult times and burdensome times. But there's another side of it, isn't there? There's a wonderful thing about church to feel the joy that our brothers and sisters feel in the Lord. He's alive, and he's meeting with us, and we know him, and he is our Lord. The joy that they felt must have been unspeakable. And joy that all ultimately will be well. Listen, Jesus, they just learned, was alive. Jesus had just conquered death. He had just overcome it. He had just risen again as he said he would. What do they have now to fear? What is it? And you might say, well, they had fear in their hearts. In fact, we've just spoken of that and talked about that. But this ever-present joy. If my Lord has conquered death itself, what have I to fear for myself? And now we have this issue and this need to bring these two realities together, this reality of joy and fear, this dichotomy. How can these things both be present at the same time? I want to give you this as a possible thought and explanation. The fear that they had. If you set aside fear in the idea of a reverence for God, the fear that they had, the fear that often we have in our lives that know the Lord, it's for what the events of the resurrection mean for the world and those who remain in it, separate and apart from God. There's no fear for ourselves. There's no fear for eternity. There's fear for what the resurrection means for the world and those who remain in it, who reject God. The joy is for what the events of the resurrection mean for the world that is yet to come. The joy that accompanies us in this life as we make our way through it, knowing that at the end of this life, we will be ushered into joy unspeakable, full of glory, without end. No tear will hit our eyes ever again. No pain, no separation, no nothing that we associate with this life. It will all be forever behind us. So what are you afraid of losing in this life? That you are willing to sacrifice the joy that you would find in Christ both now and forever. What temporary possession, relationship, perception of yourself, desires for your own life, goals, aspirations of in this world, what of those things are you grasping onto with all of your might and trying to grab more of that you know right now one day will be taken from you in death? What are you afraid of losing here that you're willing to sacrifice joy there?
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.